Coming up on TMS, sweet diva costume, kid.
I smell like lobster.
You totally smell like lobster. I am a stray, so give me burgers.
Water parks are better with nudes.
How'd you get here from Maine?
Take that, shark.
Major spoilers and Trek Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Leaves of three, let it be.
Leaves of four, eat some more.
Conversion.
This is the morning screen. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TMS. It is the morning stream for Monday, October 29th, 2018. There are only two episodes this week because BlizzCon is here.
That's right.
That is the way it shall be.
BlizzCon!
Brian Ibbett is back all the way from beautiful other side of the country.
From beautiful many, many states.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
And, it's good to have you back.
Big thanks to Kim, who did an incredible job, and Brian Dunaway.
Yeah.
One of them left a half-eaten McRib sandwich in the booth here. I don't know who it was, but...
Dunaway. Absolutely Dunaway.
Absolutely Dunaway. Yeah. Had to be Dunaway.
Kim will never do that. She won't even look at one of those things without thinking of throwing up. Hey, right, so exactly. Speaking of which, you were gone for a whole week, which is weird. We usually don't have that sort of thing here, but... when that happens, it usually means that you got to see some stuff, and we'll talk about all that in a second. Because I'm sure there are things you're going to tell us about your trip that
are things. I told a little bit about the pumpkin lady on whatever, Wednesday? Thursday? When did I call in?
No, Thursday.
Thursday. Thursday.
That's how I say it. Yeah, you talked a bit about that. Oh, that's right. We did have that one call, and that was good. We enjoyed that. That was a lifeline.
It was a way to prove that I was still alive and that I hadn't pod faded.
Exactly. So before we start pod fading this week, starting Wednesday,
sure.
We'll get to that and a few other things here in a second. I do want to give a quick shout out to Jason and Nova. Nova is his daughter. He sent over some pictures of her awesome diva costume for Halloween, and it's extremely impressive, this costume.
Well, worth before you go too much further, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Are these the Doors?
D-O-R-R? I don't know.
Because if it's Jason and Nova, I think they're husband and wife, because I went to school with Nova.
Oh, there's
Nova
no way Dora. He's married to this girl. She's like...
Okay, then maybe her name, maybe the daughter is not Nova.
Yeah, the daughter, the girl looked like seven. So,
yeah.
And he sent pictures of her in her full diva costume. So, definitely not married these days.
Definitely might be somebody, right? Might be a different name for.
You can only marry that young of a person if you live in Canada, I think. It's all Canadians do that, right? Canada? Right. Throwing shade on Canada. Anyway, yes.
Vanessa is the daughter. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, he said, Vanessa's the daughter, Nova's the mom. Oh, I have that wrong then.
Yes.
Because he said, I'll have to reread it. I probably read it wrong then. Oops. Super cute, though.
Right.
Super cute. And the diva costume is legit. So go demand candy in said costume.
That's right.
On Wednesday.
Give me some candy.
So
a
how?
Diva.
So how? Oh, before I'll just do this too. Linda, I'll make sure I get this one right. Linda of Wigwam Tavern and Deep Draft Brewing Company sent some stickers and a t-shirt. You should have gotten these as well.
Oh, really? No,
yeah.
I have not yet, but
okay.
I'm sure I will.
Should be on their way if you haven't already. As she said in the letter that they were coming to both of us.
Mine better come with beer.
There was all sorts of beer paraphernalia with this thing, and reading about the history of the Wigwam Tavern and Deep Draft Brewing was fascinating, and I just want to thank Linda for thinking of us and sending that stuff out. It was really nice. Getting all kinds of stuff down to the P.O. box now. It's happening. It's happening. Help, help, it's happening. All right, Brian.
Help, it's happening.
What happened on the trip? Anything of note? Anything cool you want to tell everybody about?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So this was a trip to see my parents, my dad and stepmom, who live in northwestern Vermont. They're so close to, well, I mean, they're half an hour from Burlington, Vermont, but their house actually has a view where you can see Burlington You can see Lake Champlain. You can see the Adirondacks on the other side. And it's just absolutely beautiful. And so we got to spend some days there with them, but kind of circling the trip, bookending the trip, were visits to a bunch of states I haven't been to before on the East Coast, namely Maine, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. And we could see Canada as well, looking north from Lake Champlain and Burlington. But basically, it was a chance to kind of knock some other states off the list. We, on Thursday, the day I called in, we actually got breakfast or coffee in Montpelier, capital of Vermont. Mm-hmm. We made our way down to Concord, the capital of New Hampshire, then down to Providence, the capital of Rhode Island, and then up to Boston for a visit to Spice. I'll talk about that in a second. Ooh. Which is the capital of Massachusetts. And so I actually was able to visit four capital cities in one day, which I feel like is a...
That's amazing. Really, yeah. Only in the really Eastern Seaboard, either. Though, right? You can only do that in these tiny little states out there. You try to do that in the West and you're screwed.
Exactly. I can't imagine trying to hit like Denver, Salt Lake City, and Sacramento all in one day.
Oh my
I don't
gosh.
Know if you could do it.
It sounds impossible, actually. I don't think
it
you can.
It does sound impossible. But that aspect of the trip was really good. We went to this restaurant called Spice in Boston, which is it was a restaurant put together by four MIT students and a celebrity chef, and I can't remember, not celebrity, star chef. Mm. The difference is TV show or no TV show.
Oh, okay. Really, I was going to ask. I've never heard of. I didn't know there was a distinction, but that'll work.
I guess there is. But anyway, it's a restaurant where robots actually put together your meal. There's like a little sliding container that goes back and forth, and it dumps ingredients from little dispensers up above.
Yeah.
Rice and meat and sauces and stuff like that. And then this thing flips down forward at kind of an angle and rotates around, so you can see your food cooking in like the stir fry of this circle going around and around. And above it is a little display that says, "Brian, this is your Latin rice bowl, and Tina, this is your Italian pasta dish," and it just sits there and spins and cooks the food. And then after a few minutes, it goes blork, and it dumps the food right into a bowl, which some nice workers will put some other toppings on it and then hand it to you, and you take it to your table and eat it.
Oh yeah, look at this. I'm looking at it here. This looks like it almost looks like an Apple store. Like they got this cool table in the middle and all that.
It is the Apple store of food for sure. And I got some video of it dumping like blorking my food out into a bowl, which I did have to give the sound effect.
Blork. Yeah, no kidding. $7.50 a bowl? That's great.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. It's like one of the cheapest meals we probably had out there.
Yeah, I was going to say on the whole trip, that's probably the cheapest thing you can do if you don't go to McDonald's or something.
I had some lobster out there, lots of lobster. I got to say, for a place that is as widely available as legal seafoods as a restaurant on the East Coast, mostly Boston and Portsmouth, New Hampshire, I think, has them. It's called Legal Seafood. I don't know why it's called Legal Seafood, because I don't know if there's an illegal seafood, but maybe this restaurant was founded in a time where there was a lot of illegal fishing going on or something, and they had to...
Maybe there's something you can't get or use or sell or something still. Like, maybe it's can't have any blue lobsters or something weird like that.
Maybe that's it. But anyway, so they had... We've been craving lobster bisque the whole time we were out there, and I'd been craving a lobster roll, which is basically just chopped up lobster meat and some veggies and stuff in a cut open roll. And it was disappointing for a place called Legal Seafood, which is all over the damn place. It's like, oh, this is not a really good lobster roll. And this bisque is like a little, I don't know, just not super flavorful. So
that's a bummer. No
recommendation. You get no recommendation from me.
You got to get the illegal stuff. You got to get the hard stuff, right. You know?
I guess so. Yes. Point me to the illegal seafood place.
Yeah.
That first night in Portland, by the way, and that was the night that I sent you guys posted photos of me getting attacked by the lobster I was eating. Mm. We got there a little early and decided to walk around downtown Portland before our dinner reservation. And went to, by recommendation of somebody on Twitter, I apologize, I don't remember who said it, went to a couple stores next to each other, Bull Moose Records, which was awesome. I spent about $100 on some cover CDs that I didn't have in my library, except for one that I apparently did have in my library and just bought another copy of it because I forgot I already owned it. Mm. Right next door, though, is a place called Casablanca Comics. And so Tina went to the Anthropology store upstairs, and I went and perused Casablanca Comics, which had some really cool stuff, toys and, you know, obviously big comic walls. And I was wearing my a Punisher hat, like a little knit hat on my head, or not Punisher, Daredevil.
Yeah.
And the guy behind the counter says, "Oh, Daredevil, have you checked out the new season yet?" Because it had just come out. And I said, "No, I haven't seen any of it. Still actually finishing up the most recent season, I guess the last season of Iron Fist."
Yeah.
And he says, "Oh, no, it's really, really good. It's put together by the same guys who did, same showrunner as
Chicago Hope.
No, something else that is really good.
L.A. Law.
That we like. No, current
Okay.
Geek culture. Let's rather than spend 20 minutes having you guess and throw out TV
shows.
Who's
the bee in apartment 23? No?
That's it. Yes. Oh. Something like that.
Okay.
Anyway. So we were talking about it, and I said, "Hey, yes, I need to check it out." We talked for maybe about 2 or 3 minutes, and then he says, "Your voice, is your name Brian?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Brian Ibbett?" Yes. And so it's a guy named Dave, I think Dave Neighbor, and I was trying to look him up and make sure I get the spelling and pronunciation.
Wait. His name might be Dave Neighbor? Yes.
Dave Neighbor. Not Neighbor Dave, but Dave Neighbor.
You guys, think of that for a second. Just think for a second. The guy's name is Dave Neighbor, and Brian, all we ever talk about is Brian's neighbor Dave. That's amazing.
Neighbor Dave. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But he is a TMS fan. He's a member of Diamond Club, so... most of his time is spent watching NSFW, but coming over here and checking out enough stuff to
did
where
he do
recognized.
This? Did he go, do that?
He absolutely did. That was like, as soon as he realized who I was, he did the thing. I was like, yeah, okay.
Lord,
yeah, cool.
Freaking, what a that's, freaking cult. You
know, that's not a TMS thing, so whatever.
Yeah, such a cult, man. Such a cult.
But he was totally awesome.
Well, that's great.
Really,
Dave
really
neighbor.
Cool guy.
Yeah.
What else? There was one other thing. Was there something else I was going to bring up? You know, if I remember it, I'll bring it up.
Yeah,
but
it's a big trip. Anyway, you've gone a long time. You were, had it sounds like a very pleasant time to me.
It was a really, really good time. Yeah. Oh yeah, I think my dad thinks that I'm a bit of a lush, and I think this comes from last December. We had a wedding that we went to in Las Vegas for my cousin Allison.
Yeah.
And on one of the nights, I said, "Hey, you guys haven't been to Vegas, or it's been a long time." And he's only ever been in like convention centers and stuff. I said, "All right, I'm going to go ahead and kind of take you around some of my favorite spots in Las Vegas, kind of give you a whirlwind trip down the strip to like all my favorite haunts."
Yeah.
Well, and I kind of forget the fact that a lot of those places are bars, and I don't, when I go to Vegas, I don't just go, "All right, well, let's go right from this bar to another bar, and let's go right from this bar to another bar." Mm-hmm. But if I'm there for like 3 or 4 days, we'll probably hit a few of these places over the course of the week. I jammed them all into one night. Mm. And, we had the Mandarin Bar overlooking the Strip, and we had the Peppercorn up at the north end. We had the Foundation Room up at the top of Mandalay Bay, and hit all these places. And so when we got out there, they scheduled, or not scheduled, but one of the days that they took us around in Vermont was to this distillery. And we sampled a bunch of different vodkas and gins. And then we went over to a cider brewing place and tried 4 or 5 different ciders. And then went to a brewing place. So they must think that you know.
I like
keep
this. I like the term
the
lush. Underrated. It's very 1920s. Like.
I do like that,
she
yes.
was a real lush. See, every time I saw her, she was drinking some. She became a real lush by the end of the night.
Is wino. I like the term wino. Oh, yeah, he's a bit of a wino.
Yeah, or a drunkard. How about a drunkard?
Drunkard, yeah. Exactly.
Well, that's interesting. So he has that impression from that, but how did it manifest this week or last week?
That's what I'm saying. He took us around in northwestern Vermont to a distillery and to a...
So he's thinking, this is the stuff Brian likes. I got to take him to all the beer places.
Exactly. It's like me all of a sudden saying, "Well, I know my dad likes Sia, so we'll take him to record stores and look at Sia albums all weekend while he's here."
Is he a big Sia fan? Do you like Sia?
No, he just, I bought him a couple Sia albums and he really liked them.
I love that.
That's it.
Yeah, I love that. This renowned cancer doctor is super into Sia. I think it's a great idea.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, that's awesome. Anyway, that's good.
Great time. It was a great weekend, or a great weekend, great week. And Tina is my favorite traveling companion.
Yeah.
By far.
Chat room is telling me that the D&D Beyond stuff keeps popping up on this. So, long story short, for the D&D thing that we do on Saturdays, they introduced a plugin for the thing that lets you interact directly with the campaign via Twitch.
Oh, you just do it
on the video. So you get an overlay of our characters, what our current stats are, what our hit points are. Like all this information is super cool and interactive. Apparently, it's still there. So I got to go disable that. And I'll do that at some point during today's show. Sorry that that's there, everybody. Anyway, well, I'm glad to have you back. It's fantastic.
Good to be back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And again, big kudos to Kim and Brian Dunaway. They were both awesome. We listened to as much as we could live and then just listened to the episodes once they got posted. When you're driving across country on the interstates and state highways and stuff, you lose signal so quickly or so frequently that trying to listen to the show live was an exercise in futility. So we just basically had to download when we could get to download and listen to everything.
Now, when you were driving around and stuff, the mountains aren't quite the same as they are out here. Did you miss that? Did you miss the Rockies?
A little bit. I don't know. There's something kind of nice about mountains that are covered with trees that are changing colors. And I mean, we get that here in Colorado, obviously. You get that in Utah.
Yeah.
But I don't mind not having to go up steep mountain passes and deal with snow and ice and stuff like that. Yeah. I got no problem with that. I kind of like seeing how the other half of the country lives.
Sure.
There.
Yeah. The eastern half.
Well, fall weather.
Yeah. Good job, guys, with your fall weather. You're famous for it over there, it turns out.
That's right. Yes. I was a Leaf Peeper.
That's right.
Tried to do that accent. I didn't hear anybody with that accent, but that woman, that the pumpkin lady,
yeah,
she kind of looked like James Cromwell with a wig.
Really?
That'll do a pumpkin.
The James Cromwell with a wig is going to stick in my head all day. Well, that's great. So nobody said to you, you're going to the legal seafood. I wouldn't go up there if I were you.
No. Make sure to buy some jellies. It's over here next to the distillery.
The jelly.
No, but I did that accent all weekend, and Tina's really getting irritated with it. I may say that she's my favorite traveling companion. Not sure that after this last week that she would say the same.
Well, I'll bet she would, because she's nice. And even if you're not, she'd still say you were. And that's because she's
nice.
And
I get to hang out with my second favorite traveling companion this week, Tristan, coming along with me.
Oh, yeah.
BlizzCon, as always.
That's right. You guys are flying, yeah, Wednesday?
We are flying. Yep, absolutely. Yep. Flying Wednesday morning. And love traveling with him. He's a blast, especially stuff like Disneyland and then the con itself, because we both want to see the same things and do the same things. It's not like, well, I'm gonna go over here and do this, I'll see you in a couple hours.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna see Tom this year, which means no ice cream social, I guess.
Well, it just means no ice cream social with Tom.
Oh, I see. Brian,
the ice cream must flow.
Yeah, it's gonna happen whether you want it to or not.
Yeah, exactly.
You're lost, Tom.
You can have a social with two people, me and Tristan. That's a social.
Yeah, maybe I'll try it. When do you do it normally? What's the tradition?
It's just when we, usually after lunch, we see the, what's it called? Flavor Burst ice cream stands.
Yeah.
And you just got to get one.
You should do it Saturday around 2.
Okay, we'll do it Saturday around 2.
I'm not saying why, just that's a good time.
We'll probably do it Friday afternoon as well.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, it's very good to be here. Good to be doing a show.
Saturday at 2. I'm marking that down because it feels like something is going to get announced at some point soon about what's happening Saturday afternoon.
It does feel that way, doesn't it?
Yes, it totally does.
Why it won't actually happen is really kind of beyond my control, but... But it does feel that way. All right.
That's right.
We're going to call Dunaway and play a little game with him. He's here now. Here's his music. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now for a little game of what we call Babel Royale, starring Brian Dunaway, who's on the line now. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Brian.
How are you? Are you at work today? What's going on?
I am in the woods.
Oh, in the woods, eh?
Yeah, it's almost Halloween. I thought I would go out for a little walk.
Oh, that's creepy.
No, I'm not in the woods, fool.
It sounds creepy. I don't like to hear that you're there. Are you going to get a disease and get bit by a dog and then have your face rot off and then... Or are you going to be like Bert?
I'm heading up to the pet cemetery to retrieve my cat.
You should be like Bert and just screw everybody else.
I think everybody should be more like Bert.
I know you do. You love Bert. If you don't know what we're talking about, we watched Film Sack this weekend and we watched Cabin Fever. And it was kind of terrible. But Brian likes that movie a lot.
Because
so.
Squirrels are gay.
Squirrels are gay.
Hey, you're confusing... likes that movie a lot and finds it interesting.
Oh.
You can't say that you just find that movie interesting the raving you did about Bert.
Yeah, I think you like Bert. Bert and you are like this. Okay, cross my fingers.
By the way, clean up the booth when you're done. All right, yeah. Brian, no, I found a half-eaten McRib sandwich in here.
I left it in the order in which I found it, which was a disaster.
Oh,
you're right. That's my half-eaten McRib. Oh, awesome. Okay, good.
Yeah, no, it's still, you can have it for later.
No, it's three quarters eaten now.
Who can tell? Yeah. Really, with McDonald's food, it all looks
and sounds the same.
Hey, the McRib is back, though. We kid, but the McRib is back.
Yeah, we don't want it to be, though. It's not good.
We kid.
No, they press it. They mush it into the shape of a rib thing, and it's not even real. It's horrible.
They don't mush it.
Yes, they do. There's no...
That's the way it comes straight from the McPig.
No, it doesn't. That thing comes out in, like, pink goo. They mash it with a thing.
You're thinking of the nuggets.
They make
That's
it
not no, how they do pressed, the ribs.
It's pressed into a McRib shaper.
Yeah,
it's
there's
a,
no ribs.
The fuzzy
there.
Pumper barbershop of fast food is
yeah,
what it is.
Yeah, McRib press. Here, I got one to show you. Do I have it? Oh, let's see. The McRib is back. Bring
I
it
bet
back
you can buy one on Amazon, by the way, like a little thing that you put.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, I found it.
Pulled pork or something into it.
Yeah, I found it. McDonald's has. There's some pictures somebody snuck. Let's see. Oh, and they also freeze them after they do the thing. So here you go, chat room. Sorry, everyone at home, you can't see this. Look it up, though. Look up McRib press, and you'll see how they do it. And that is absolutely gross. That's not a rib sandwich. That is a...
Did you really think it was a rib sandwich?
No, but look at that thing. But look at the thing. It's here. I'm going to put the thing in the deal.
It's rib meat, right? I guess that's something.
Is it, though? Is it rib meat? How do we know this for sure?
Yeah, but it isn't necessarily good rib meat, but it's rib meat.
How do we know it's rib meat? Do we really know that?
Well, they tell us it is. I mean, you know, we're just really going on what they tell us, and it could be, it doesn't even say animal rib, really. I mean, they don't
know. Right. Ooh, now this Halloween is getting really, this Halloween's getting really scary. Oh, you know what? We should be talking about, though, since it's almost Halloween. Are you guys going to head to the Burger King and try... the Nightmare Burger?
Is it the Black Burger?
Is this the one that
that was a couple years ago. It's green now, right? Isn't that the green burger this year?
No,
is it?
Oh, is it?
You're thinking of the few years back when it was the A1 sauce that they used to darken the
bun.
Well,
they had one that Brian and I covered it on the show. They had it. It was like black. But it turned, right there.
It's that green bun is what makes your poop black.
Yeah, isn't it? I thought it was the other way. The black bun made your poop green.
Oh, right. Maybe it is. Exactly. I thought it was green bun made your poop black.
Either way.
Don't look at your poo after eating at Burger King anyway. But they have a nightmare.
Don't look at it, Marion.
Yeah.
They have a nightmare burger that is supposedly formulated in such a way that the meats give you nightmares if you eat this over a week's period. I'm just going to try one just to see how it goes.
Let's
take a look at this thing, by the way.
Okay.
Right.
It features a quarter pound of savory flame grilled beef topped with a 100% white meat crispy chicken filet.
Why does it need to be white meat? I mean, it could be anything.
We call it our low-cal burger. Melted American cheese, thick-cut bacon, mayonnaise, and onions all assembled on a glazed green sesame seed bun.
Ugh.
This is their, by the way, these are their words. This is their promotion.
Yeah, this is them talking.
I don't need a hamburger with a chicken patty and bacon on top.
Oh, but the interesting thing is they have a whole, if you go look at for the YouTube video, they have a whole research team, they say. It's Burger King research team. That they actually studied and said it would give you nightmares. I'm not buying it, but I am buying it.
Yeah, I don't think the nightmare part is true because that's... I'll tell you what it is true. If you eat a whole bunch of these, you'll have nightmares because your body is...
I've, Rejecting I feel like it. If I ate one of these, I'd have nightmares. Yeah. Not the kind that they're promising.
No. Here's a close up chat of the actual burger, not the photo one they use. Ooh. Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, I don't I'm not into it. I like Burger King too.
Somebody cooked a Squirtle.
Yeah, it does a little bit. Oh, did you get any Pokemon going while you were out there? I assume you did.
Yeah, totally. The Belden community or Beldum community. Hi, Beldum. Community Day was happening while we were out there, and we went to we decided to do it in the nicest place we could find, which was Cape Elizabeth in Portsmouth. There is the most photographed lighthouse out there. And I can see why. I mean, it is exactly what you want in a lighthouse. It's like right on a rocky cliff overlooking the ocean, and it's painted just like the trope, what you think of when you think of a lighthouse, painted just like that. And it's covered, like the whole area was covered with Pokestops. So, you know, walked all around that area, took photos and caught Pokemon.
Caught Pokemon, yeah.
Caught Pokemon. It was a blast. It was a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. Chat room, you're going to want to call a number. That number is 801-471-0467.
Oh, yeah, we're doing that.
Yeah, we're doing that.
It wasn't just call and chat with Brian today, what?
Yeah, as much Come as we on. Like that, 801-471-0462 is the number. And if you are our lucky caller, you could win some prizes today. In fact, a very big prize donated by kind of a big deal who made me make sure he was anonymous. In fact, I won't even say if it was a he. Well, I guess I just did.
Wow.
But somebody in a place that listens to our show that I'm a little shocked they even listen to it, but... we got a $60 value. No, I'm sorry. $79 value today.
Wow. Oh, are you saying that I wasn't supposed to redeem that code that we had in our show notes?
I'm saying, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And I'll say it one more time. Sorry. Don't do it.
I mean, we have a copy of Punisher starring Dolph Lundgren.
Finally. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Rob.
Hey, Rob. Where are you calling from, Rob?
I'm from California.
California. That's the great state of California. You never have any water and stuff's on fire. But other than that, it's a cool, cool state. Well done.
I always just want someone to call from their toilet.
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Someone just say their toilet. That's what you want?
Yeah.
Man,
that's what I want.
You're obsessed with toilets today. Green poo and toilets. Jeez. Well, anyway, hey, it's good to have you on the show there, Rob. And, what was I going to say to you? Oh, you could win some cool prizes today. Here's what you could win and how the game works. Brian will explain it.
I will absolutely explain it. I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic. They're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win will go to the other player. Your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. As Scott mentioned, today you are playing for a copy of Assassin's Creed Odyssey Gold Edition.
It's a brand new video game. This thing's not even like 3 months old. It's like new.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I thought Rob said something.
I did too.
Courtesy of Anonymous or Anonymish.
Anonymish.
I've heard people pronounce it Anonymish.
He's a Mennonite.
It's weird for such an activist group to be giving away a video game, but whatever.
Yeah, why not? Assassin's Creed Odyssey, brand new spanking game. I've been playing the hell out of it. It's great. If it wasn't for Red Dead Redemption 2, I'd still be playing it and finishing it, and I'll get back. I'll wrap around to it. Sometime this holiday season. But anyway, brand new gold edition copy of it. Straight to you, Rob, if you win. All right,
if
Brian.
If you win. And the topic today is... This one comes to us from TMS Mashups. The original Super Smash Brothers for N64 came out way back in 1999.
Yeah.
I want you to name the 12 playable characters in the first iteration of this classic brawler.
Oh my gosh.
Brawler.
There are only 12. That's the one
Wish
big
it was
that's,
a little bit taller.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one big shocker here is a reminder that it was only 12 characters to start with. That was
that's right. And now, 8 of them like were 80? Default and 4 of them you had to unlock. And that's the only clue that I'm gonna give you.
All right.
So that's it. That's your topic. Mm. Rob, who do you think is going to come out on top in this one?
I'm gonna have to go Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah, good pick.
He knows
good
what's pick. Up. Rob knows what's up in California. All right.
He does.
Let's do it.
And I'm going to let you decide also who gets to go first. A little bit of strategy on this one, maybe.
Hmm.
Let Scott go first.
Okay.
All right.
Scott's going to go first. He's going a little different than usual. Meaning sometimes, you know, people always default and go, hey, Dunaway first, but not this time. All right, well, let's see how this goes. I'm going to start with Kirby. He was my go-to back then.
He is, of course, yes, the little pink vacuum cleaner. Very good.
Pink vacuum cleaner. Yeah.
Little pink vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody should make a Roomba, but put big eyes on it and make it all pink. Make a little Kirby Roomba. Why don't people do
that? Yes, right.
I'd do that. That's a great idea. All right, Dunaway.
That would be totally cool.
It would be until he sucked up a cat turd and you're like, what's he going to do with that? I don't know.
Yeah. All right, what do you want? Pick it. Go.
Brian Dunaway.
I'm going to go with Mario.
Kind of an easy one to go with because, yeah, of course, Mario was one of the Smash Bros back in the day.
Yeah, his idiot brother Luigi.
That's right. Exactly. Very good.
My next one.
Right, that's your guess?
Yeah, huh. Luigi.
Oh, okay. Wow, you just threw that out without any sort of preparation.
Right, I know.
Foreplay, just with Luigi, right there.
Straight up Luigi.
He was not one of the default characters in the game, but he was unlockable. So he's one of the 12.
Yeah, he's one of the 12 is the thing here. Yeah.
That's the key. You want one of the 12. But you had to unlock Luigi.
It's often true with him, though. Like a lot of Mario games, you'll eventually figure out a way to unlock his brother, which is weird. But not the other way around. In the Luigi vacuum game, you could never unlock Mario. But you could spend the entire game going, Mario! Trying to find him.
Mario!
Yep.
Anyway. Yoshi. Right,
back to you, Brian.
You say Yoshi?
Yoshi.
Yeah.
No. Yoshi was not a playable character.
Yoshi was not a playable character?
Yoshi was not. No, believe it or not.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. Take that back. I'm sorry. He was. Totally was.
Oh, my gosh. He was totally in there. Yeah. I'm freaking out here.
He was in the... sorry. It was... It's really small text.
Yeah. Listen, if Veronica was here, she would be losing her mind right now.
She would. Oh, my God. She would be...
I was losing my mind.
Her fist on the table.
Yes. I remember playing Yoshi. Like,
yeah, Yoshi was totally in there.
No, he's absolutely in there. Sorry.
Chat room says 13th character is Judas. That's pretty good. Nice job, guys. I like it. All right. Nice. Oof, near miss there. I remember Star Fox or Fox from Star Fox being in there.
Fox McCloud of the Clan McCloud. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was absolutely in there of the defaults.
Yep.
Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong, you know, I'm going to do this. Ped Z25 says, put your reading glasses on, Brian. I'm going to do that just to make sure, because this is, like I said, this is really tiny type.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, everything out there is blurry, but I can see this really well.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong, one of the default characters as well.
All right, next up, I'm going to go with some form of Link. I don't know which one, but Link from The Legend of Zelda was there.
That's good.
The form of Link that's written on my page is called Link. So, yes.
All right. I'm gonna say it would only be, I guess it'd be later iterations where they went nuts with that. But yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah. I don't know if it was the cell shading or the photorealistic or...
Yeah.
All right. Back to you, Brian.
I want to say that the... I think I might be getting confused with the other one. Pikachu?
Are you saying Pikachu?
I think I'm saying Pikachu.
Pikachu was absolutely one of the default characters you could play. Pika.
Well,
I'm kind of getting them confused now.
I'll meet your Pikachu and raise you a Jigglypuff.
Oh.
Look at that. That was an unlockable.
It was
an
unlockable. It was also the only character in the game I refused to play. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Big pink, cute thing.
The Scarlet Spider of Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Was basically.
F that guy. I'm going to pick him.
No, him. How about
Pikachu.
Ow.
Very good. Jigglypuff. Back to Brian.
How about the Bowser?
Bowser, I can comfortably say, was not one of the top. I looked at the list. I double-checked the list twice.
Yeah.
And there's no Bowser.
That is correct. He is not in there.
The first one.
I played that game like crazy, and I bet I can tell you the rest. Can I try?
Yes.
Okay.
There's three left that haven't been named.
Samus.
Yep. Very good.
A.K.A. Metroid Lady.
And that was the last of the default ones that you guys didn't name. So the other two are unlockables.
Who's the little kid? Now. The little kid.
I'm thinking of Melee.
Who's the? Oh, Melee is the best one though. So I don't blame you. Who's the little kid? The little kid with a red hat. Chat room saying it. Ness. It was Ness.
Ness. You're not saying Ash Ketchum?
No.
Saying Ness?
Yeah, I'm going to say Ness. Oh, and Captain Falcon from the right. Hover game, the racing game. He's from, what's that game called?
That one was stupid.
Anyway, the other, the kind of wipeout-y game that Nintendo made. I can't think of the name.
That is all 12. Yes.
Wow. I can't believe it was only ever 12 characters.
Crumbled. Yeah. Crumbled like an old cookie.
That's right.
Therefore, Rob from California.
Yeah. You win, dude. Congratulations. How do you feel?
Freaking awesome, man.
Oh, it's great.
I just can't believe that was 12 people.
I know. It's insane.
What was the new one up to? Like 80?
Yeah, it's like, it's so many of them now. It's like ridiculous, including all these characters plus I don't know how many total. But yeah, it's a big deal today because you have won this copy of this game. Here's what you have to do. You need to email me. Or I can email you. It doesn't matter, I guess. But
yeah, either one of us.
Yeah, just email me, scott@frogpants.com. I'll get you the code. You'll be all set. And you'll be.
If you want a faster response, email me.
Oh, that is some horse shit. That is some horse shit. Oh, I swore. I haven't sworn in a while. All right. There you go. I did it on Rob's time. Congratulations, Rob, and well done. And Brian Dunaway, well done. You almost had it, dude.
Oh, good job, Scott. You were definitely going to win that one. That was a good pick.
This was close, I think. Mm-hmm. I felt it in my bones. In fact, I was almost out. I couldn't remember Ness's name and Captain Falcon. I probably could have come around on.
Yeah, but you had Samus in the back.
Oh, Samus, so. Right. I forgot we didn't do Samus yet. Yeah. In my head, I was thinking more of Melee
because I was playing more of that.
Yeah, the GameCube one, Melee, that's still considered kind of the grand poopah. The thing is, when this new one comes out, that'll be a big test for it to see if it'll actually surpass Melee in terms of popularity. Because at the tournament scene and competitive scene, it's still mostly Melee. That's what they play. Like, they don't play the newer ones. They don't play the one that came out on freaking Wii U or Wii. And they were fine games. It's just, for whatever reason, Melee really stuck. Part of it's the controller, and that's why the new that's why the controllers are going to work with the Switch. So if you have an old GameCube controller, you use it on your Switch. Yeah, you buy the little adapter and you play it that way. It's pretty crazy. So anyway, Brian Dunaway, have a fantastic day and kiss our butts.
Are you taking your Switch to BlizzCon so you can play Diablo on it?
I was gonna, but now I'm not. Well, Diablo doesn't come out until after.
Oh, it's after. That's right. They're
something
just,
like
they're
that.
Just
yeah.
Showing it off there. They're not going to have. Okay.
So my thinking was, well, I'd still bring it to play other stuff. And then I thought, wait a minute. Didn't I hear that Stardew Valley just came out on phones? I think I'll play that. So I'm just going to play that on my phone.
Really?
Yeah, it's only $8. It's cheap.
Oh, that's totally worth it.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. I played the hell out of it on PC, and I'm excited to keep going on my phone.
I know. People have been raving about that game, and I never picked it up for anything.
Yeah.
So.
It's perfect on phones, I think. It's got a nice little footprint there. Feels nice and portable.
It's the Animal Crossing that we wanted.
Kind of. Yeah. Like, there's still things about Animal Crossing I wish were in this. Mm-hmm. This focuses... Well, you can kind of play this game however you want to, but... Like, I wish this was all fishing and farming, but there's also all this relationship-y crap I got to worry about. But in Animal Crossing, it's the stuff I didn't like in there either. I didn't like going and talking to the other animals and shite. I hate that. Mm-hmm. But that's just me. So, and a quick, by the way, I meant to mention this top of the show. I am comfortable in saying that Red Dead Redemption 2 is two things, okay? One of the coolest things I've ever played in my life. And two, probably not for Brian Ibbett. It is a slow
the whole Western aspect and
but it's a slow pace. I've been using this phrase online, embrace the pace, because I think that's what makes the game great, and you just have to adjust your sort of, you know.
Oh, see, now I don't mind a well-paced game.
Well, it's not about
the Western thing probably wouldn't be,
and it's not even so much about the well pacing. It's just it's very deliberate, and I don't like to use the word slow because that sounds like a pejorative, and I don't mean it to. But it is. It's kind of a slower-paced approach. The first game was like that, too. People just forgot. And we're used to playing very quick, arcade-y, you know, games. And this can, at first impression, make you go, oh, wow, when you skin a goat, you really skin the goat. Like, you skin it, and then you pack it on the horse, and then you go get the carcass, and then you pack it on the horse, and then you mount up, and you ride 16 miles back to camp, and then give it to the dude. Like, there's a lot of very deliberate things going on, almost like a simulation in a kind of a way. Not that you wouldn't like that. I think that's fine. I think that just that combined with this is hard Western, I think was not your bag.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I don't want to speak for you, but I just think it's something you wouldn't like.
No, I probably wouldn't. And I still have some Spider-Man to finish. And then I will pull the plastic off of this guy right here, Persona 5.
Yeah.
We'll see whose guess as to when I actually take the plastic off of this game.
Yeah. I'm going to predict it'll be next week sometime. That's my prediction.
Really? That quickly?
Yeah. No. You get back from BlizzCon, you're like, oh, man, I'm in the mood for a video game. What am I going to do? And then you'll just crack that thing open.
Okay.
If not then when? If not you, then who?
Right. Well, this is true. No one's going to unwrap it without me.
No. As far as I know. All right. Let's get to the news today. Some quick stuff here. Oh, did we do the news yet? I didn't even play the thing.
We have not. No, you haven't even played the thing.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
Hey, look, it's the news brought to you by
my sweaty neighbor to the north, pitting out like a demon since 2013.
Yeah, this guy, he's just like every time I see him, he's got big rings around his pits, big ring around his neck. It doesn't matter what he's doing either. Coming home from work in a suit and tie, gets out of his whatever the car that is he has, gets out of it, and first thing I notice, just big sweat. He's just sweating all the time. He's probably got some condition. It's probably some kind of weird deal on there. Yeah.
Really nice. Really, really nice.
Yeah. It's nice of me to call out a guy for his sweat problem.
Next time he won't give you a hug.
Yeah. You never know. Here is a fun little story for you. A dog. I was supposed to read this Thursday. We ran out of time. A dog pretends to be a stray and gets hamburgers from McDonald's as a result.
Pretends to be a stray.
And that's what it says. Dog owner in Oklahoma City is calling out her pet for scheming to get free food outside of McDonald's. She says that late at night, her dog sneaks outside of McDonald's and then pretends to be a stray. Okay, I have an issue with her description, but we'll get to that in a second. She shared photographic evidence of her dog sitting outside a local McDonald's late at night. Then she said, hey, if you see my McDonald's see my dog at the McDonald's on Shields, quit feeding her, fat ass, because she doesn't know how to act and will be leaving the house all the time to walk by McDonald's at night, she wrote. She's not even a stray dog. So her claim is her dog is pretending to be stray. I would argue her dog is going to McDonald's because that's where the people give her free food. The dog doesn't know how to be a stray. It's not like, oh, well, look at me, I'm a stray, everybody.
Dogs don't act. You don't get dogs who act.
No.
I mean, I guess you'll get the oh, I'm so hungry. Could I have the thing that you're currently eating? So there's a little bit of that. But no, my concern is twofold. Number one, why isn't she keeping her dog in the house and kind of, safe indoors where it won't get hit by a car as it makes its way to a McDonald's?
Mm-hmm.
And B, describing your dog with a fat ass is just not, it's not the Barbara Woodhouse way.
No. It's not that. It's not the anyone.
Caesar Milan would not approve.
No, he'd just go psst, 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 psst.
That's right.
Or whatever he does. What does he do? It's like that. He does like a little psst sound to get your dog's attention.
I don't know.
If they're not behaving, he goes psst, 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 like that. Then the dog's supposed to go, oh, that's right. I'm supposed to obey or whatever. I watched like 5 minutes of that in a hotel once. I have no idea what that guy does.
That's what you remember from. That's, you know what? That's more than I remember from it.
That's
so
the whole experience as far as I know.
Yeah. So why isn't her dog in the house warm, cozy instead of wandering Oklahoma City? I mean, I can't imagine, that it gets to a McDonald's without having to cross a few streets.
Yeah.
Right.
No, yeah. She says here, she mentions in the future, she's going to have more control of her dog's late night escapades so that Princess won't get run over. Who names their dog Princess in 2018? Nobody. Princess, come on.
It sounds like a dog that was maybe named by her daughter, yeah. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like
a little bit. That's a good point. Meanwhile, at a nude water park.
Ugh.
Well, there's about to be one. It's a nude water park for adults set to open in Lake Louise. This is in Canada.
Okay.
The pastoral, idyllic nature of one of Western Canada's most well-known landmarks is set to change dramatically when Splashers Pleasure Park opens and upsets the family-friendly dynamic the region has enjoyed for years. Splashers Pleasure Park. Sounds like a place I don't ever want to go.
No, it really doesn't. And I'm just visualizing how people come down from one of those slides when their legs are facing you.
Yeah.
And they you're waiting in line at the bottom of the ride, and the tube opens up and dumps right into a pool that's right in front of the line. Mm-hmm. And they're the way they're positioned, it's not a way that I want to see people come down a slide.
Well, not only that, you're going to give yourself an enema every time you go down there.
The sound it's going to make as you come down with those plastic slides.
Yeah, it's chlorinated party water right up your hoo-ha.
Exactly.
It's not going to be good. It says the traditional
party water.
Hey, here's a title suggestion for you. Chlorinated party water. You don't have to put the up the hoo-ha part. Anyway, it's traditional bar. Can't talk. Traditional water park spread over 27 acres of land. The twist is that it's only for adults, and it's clothing optional. So it's not nude required. You can wear little trunkies if you want or whatever. When asked about the health hazards presented by an adult navigating a water slide in the nude, he admitted that some things would need to be different than a traditional water park. You ride differently to protect yourself, he says. So maybe that answers your original question. How do you go down that thing? Maybe you got to go.
I can't even imagine going down on my stomach on one of those plastic water slide rides without little protection on my nethers.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't want to go here. I want nothing to do with this place.
Yeah.
Also, the photo they use is not from the park, and also that girl's not nude. She's just
angled. Well, you don't know. There's no, I can't see any clothing on her, but.
She's just angled. Here, Chad.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a clever, somebody did a big Google image search and said, well, she could be not wearing any clothes.
Yeah, she might be a little thongy, but she's got, her hair's covering where the straps, I'm telling you, she's not.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, no, I'm sure she's.
Yeah.
She's using something.
Good job, CBC. There's a whole radio broadcast of this, and it's on podcast, so you can read and listen all about these guys. Let's see. Actually, I'll play a little.
With its pristine turquoise water surrounded by magnificent snow-capped mountains, Lake Louise, Alberta is one of the most beautiful...
Okay, great. And then they lay it on you, and they're going to have a nude thing.
Bling, 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 bling.
Is this like podcast behind
this? Exactly. It's This American Life 101.
Great. But speaking of cereal, by the way, cereal's really good this year. I don't know if you've heard of season 3. Yeah.
I haven't listened to the new season at all.
It's really good. They decide instead of having a single case, they just spend all their time and all their episodes inside the Cleveland Cleveland Justice Center, it's called, I guess. So it's like their courthousey. It's where all the stuff gets done. And they just follow a whole bunch of cases there. And it sounds like, well, that just seems like scattershot. And it kind of is. It's really good, though. Really, really good.
So do the case, but like, so it'll be maybe 4 or 5 cases, and then those stretch over the course of the series? Or
It's something new every week, pretty much. Now, they'll refer back to other stuff, though. Like, they'll be going along and go, okay, remember Jake from the first episode? We're checking in with him now, because this and this. So they do some of that. There's some crossover. Mm-hmm. But mostly it's like, this week we're talking to the number one lawyer there. This week we're talking to the prosecutor. This week we're talking to one of the judges who got censured 4 times. And, you know, is he a racist or not? Or da, 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 da. It's like all this, like, insider legal hoo-ha that I find fascinating.
That is cool. Yeah.
It's really good.
I mean, you love documentaries, so it doesn't surprise me that you'd like this. But
yeah.
I think I might have to check it out as well.
Yeah, you might like it. I think you would. Mm-hmm. It's really well put together, as always, and all that. And proof yet again that podcasting is back. It's back, everybody.
It's back, people.
Yep.
Get it in POG form.
Yep, get it in POG. So one of those lobsters you ate got down to California somehow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is pretty crazy. A diver found a Maine lobster off the southern coast of California. That is not supposed to happen. That's what diver Jim McKeeman remembers last Sunday when he came across a crustacean that was a very long, long way from home. He was diving with a few friends in Santa Monica Bay doing a regular weekend outing in search of lobsters. While the California spiny lobsters were plentiful, he couldn't believe it when he saw a Maine lobster crawling around underwater. It says the Maine lobster, known for its to be more feisty than its California cousins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd never heard that. Is that true?
No, feisty lobster, I haven't either. Mm, you usually don't see these things until they're red and cooked.
Right. That was going to ask you is when you were there, was it ever like in a tank and you go, I want that one?
No. The only place where I actually had a whole lobster was a place called DeMillo's, recommended by listener Chuck Byers. And you just ordered your lobster. You said you get a choice of a 1 1/8 pound lobster or 1 1/2 pound lobster. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do 1 1/8 pound.
Yeah.
And didn't get to pick it or anything. They picked it and brought it to me.
I don't know. I like the idea of picking it for some reason. I don't know why.
Really?
I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of cool to just be able to say, oh, yeah, that one's kind of got some good big claws, some good claw meat.
It just seems like you should have to look your prey in the eye.
You know? I see what you're saying.
Like, if you're going to eat that thing, know that you're eating this, like, living bug creature, you know, thing.
Yeah, but they can't see you.
No, they don't know.
They don't know.
They don't have any idea.
They just all of a sudden, I'm free. Ooh, yeah. They're going to give me a bath before they set me free back into the oceans.
And before anyone assumes that I'm trying to be all hippie about this, I'm not. I'll still eat the lobster. I just think you should look at your food once in a while before it becomes food. We forget too easily. It's like, I'm going to have a burger. Well, did you go look at the poor cow's face before you kill it? Still eat the burger if you want, but well, just know. It's good to know where your food's coming from.
Yeah, hippie.
Maybe we should all eat McRibs because we don't know where that's coming from.
That's right. Who knows what kind of eyes you're going to be looking into. Yeah.
Probably eating those eyes. That'd be mushed in. Hmm. Anyway, Wicked Truth in the chat says, lobsters are safe from me.
Oh.
I guess
not a fan of the lobsters.
Doesn't like the lobsters. Hmm. Anyway. Jester Woot says, I grew up with cows. Plenty of reasons to want them dead and eat them. Okay.
Oh, wow. Really?
Throwing some shade on the cows, man.
I know. You wouldn't think, you think of all the animals out there that are dicks, right? Geese are dicks.
They're such dicks.
You know, other animals are dicks. You don't think, oh, cows are dicks, man. They're just jerks.
Jerks. They're kind of dumb. I'll give them that. But they're not, they've never been a jerk to
me. Well, we don't know that they're dumb. They just, you know, they're put in a field where the only thing to do is eat the grass on the ground under their feet.
Jester Wu says, cows are both dumb and can be huge dicks.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's great. Simply Squared says, geese are asshole versions of penguins. Or penguis is what he wrote.
Penguis.
Anyways, so that guy found one there, and that shouldn't be there.
So a lobster.
They don't know how it got there.
Somebody, it's just a big-ass crawdad is all it is.
That's what those are.
He's confused.
Yeah, they're just water roaches at the end of the day.
That's right, exactly.
And then finally, back to the nudist beach or nudist place.
Wow. It's all nudes and lobsters today on TMS.
That's right. A man headbutted a shark at a nudist beach. This is an Australian surfer. And he was attacked by a shark at a nudist beach after accidentally headbutting it while trying to catch a wave. Surfer Paul Kenny.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
we got shark headbutting nudist beach.
Yeah, a lot to unpack here, I think.
Any two of those things, I think, would make a great story. And now you get all three.
I didn't know Australia had the nude beaches. That's news to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Went to Bondi.
Yeah.
Which was the color that inspired Steve Jobs to make that that blue iMac, Bondi blue.
Bondi blue.
Mm. The difference that Tina and I noticed at Bondi Beach versus like clothing optional beaches like in Miami and stuff is that the people in Bondi Beach that are not wearing clothes are people you'd actually like to see not wearing clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't want to see a lot of man doodles. That's all.
Everybody looks like a Hemsworth who's that supermodel that came from Australia?
There's a whole bunch of them.
I know, but there was the big one in the 80s. What was her name?
Joker lady? Joker's girlfriend. What's her name?
Not Amber Heard. She's a great example.
She's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street.
Actually, I've yet to, all the imports we get out of Australia for actors and actresses and all that, I've yet to see an ugly one except for maybe Hemsworth's brother. He's the only guy.
Margot Robbie, yeah. Elle McPherson was who I was trying to think of.
Oh, she's from there? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cate Blanchett's from there. All the pretty people come from there.
Mm-hmm.
But something about them is legit beautiful. Like not.
It's just something about the water out there. You
that
know?
Must be it, yeah. But it's not. They're legit beautiful, not this like weird WB beautiful we all think we like. There's something raw and real about pretty people from Australia. I can't. White,
yeah, isn't the woman who plays Maggie on The Walking Dead? She's Australian, if I
she's something. I thought she was British. No,
Maybe she is British. Maggie. I just know she has an accent that isn't that that Georgian accent that she does on the show.
Here she is, Lauren Cohen.
Lauren Cohen, yep.
She is American actress and model, but where's she from? Oh, she's British. There it is.
British, okay.
Yeah, she's lovely.
She is.
I like her a lot. She looks really good. This is going to sound creepy, and I don't mean it to, but very few people look really, really good while they're all grimy and dirty from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
She looks great.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's, I don't know why they hired her. Probably because she's a good actress. We saw her in that Death Race, horrible Death Race movie. Do you remember that?
That's right. I forgot about that.
She was
bad.
Essential Tremor asks, why, Scott? Why exactly is seeing man doodles unpleasant? If you look at a bunch of old men with their doodles out and you don't find that unpleasant, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do to help you, Essential Tremor. Dudes are gross.
We're
shaped funny. We look weird. We're just bleh.
It's like when you get lawn and leaf bags and you're filling them with grass and stuff, but then you've got like a branch that you pick up off the side of the yard and you have to shove that in the bag and it makes this weird part stick out all weird on the side of the lawn and leaf bag.
Yep.
That's what men are shaped like.
Yep. That's how we feel too.
Yeah, exactly. Like we're a big lawn and leaf bag filled with sticks that stick out in weird places.
Right. Okay. I'm sure there's some, one of the brothers from Supernatural, some lady listener or sure, even a dude listener might be thinking right now, oh yeah, dude. If I could just see one of those guys with their man doodle out, that would be something. I understand that they're big hunky dudes and then it all makes it okay. But what I would argue is it's the hunkiness of them overall that makes you interested in them, not that nasty freaking elephant trunk they got wedged between their legs.
Right.
That's not good. No one wants that.
That's flattering too, by the way.
What is?
Calling it an elephant trunk.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. It depends on what you're looking
for,
I guess.
Some guys look like an elephant tail.
Yeah, look at Michelangelo's David. Exactly. Look at that David statue. Big, brawny, smooth, muscular, perfect man body. And then a little dumb-looking dumb thing down there. Little dumb-looking little dumb. Looking all stupid, Ruins the whole statue for me. I feel like I want to go back in time and go, Michelangelo, could you please just drape something over his unit?
Listen, if I looked like David Beckham, I probably would spend a little more time looking in the mirror at myself coming out of the shower.
My point is you do that because you're David Beckham and you look like David Beckham everywhere. It's not like you look like David Beckham
and you want to go to the gym locker room and walk around and look at all the old man doodles.
No, you don't. It's just gross.
No,
guys
but
are
I'd
gross.
Proudly walk around that locker room.
Guys are gross, man.
I don't need a towel. I'm going to air dry.
I know I'm going to get blowback on this, but I'm telling you, guys are gross.
Yeah, we're just built goofy.
Yeah, we're weird.
That's all it is.
Anyway, this guy headbutted a shark, and he was naked. So there's that. The shark. I guess the shark was also naked.
The shark was naked, too.
Yeah, shark doesn't know how to not be naked. But that's our cue to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers, Trek nerd, all that stuff. We do have some Trek news today, so I'm excited about that. I'm not going to cut him off as a joke this time. This is all for real today. Of course, Steven and all that. But before we do any of it, we must play a song. Brian has prepared one. What do you got?
Yes. So going to Texas? No, we are going to Los Angeles. She's got some influences. And the album was recorded and produced in Denton, Texas, but she is from LA. She, inspired and definitely sounds like kind of a bluesy Amy Winehouse. I love this. Her name is Patti Lynn, PattiLynn. You can find her at pattilynn.com or, check her out. This is from a brand new single called Twisted. Here is Patti Lynn.
All right. I'm going to play it now, except for you YouTube people. You don't get it, but everyone else gets it. Here it is. We'll be right back. Dripping. No time to turn the fan on. Now will not wait for you. Shake me to keep the fire alive. I will not look in your eyes, so I'll desert you. Drama's fake.
you by surprise. Only we'll survive. You know I never lie.
I heard someone say turlet.
This is the morning stream. I'm bleeding to death. Humor me.
My mic went mute. We're back.
Oh.
Yeah, I got it now.
Because you were singing along with that song.
Yeah, I was getting down. Getting down with it.
Yeah.
It was pretty good, actually. I chose all old songs during the week while you were gone that were just like things I
know,
liked.
I love that. That was great. It was awesome hearing some of those old covers.
I have this little short list of like stuff you have played that I just really like and have kept, and I thought that would be a fun way to be different during the week. Mm-hmm. Also, lazy. It's a good way to be lazy.
It involves less work.
Yeah. If you guys really want the truth, that's really what's going on. All right. Well, we've come to the portion of the show where we have a couple of guests on in the Monday tradition. I was just thinking the other day, this used to be Veronica's day. Remember that?
That's right. Yeah, it was Ice Worm and Veronica.
Yeah, my favorite daytime soap, Veronica's Day. It's good stuff. But today it's Stevens. Dude, do it. Oh, he's so fast and on the trigger that there's no waiting for anybody. Here you go. It's Steven from all the way in Hayes, Kansas, the proprietor, founder, and everyday working guy of Majorspoilers.com.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
I couldn't think of the third thing. The third thing was really coming slow to me. I apologize.
Fat nerd?
Yeah, the fat nerd. No, you're not the fat nerd. You're one of my favorite nerds. In fact, you know what? I got a compliment from you from somebody. Carter, my daughter, Carter Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
She came up to me and she says, "Who's on Mondays?" And I said, "Oh, that's Steven and Daryl." And she goes, "Oh, I love Steven's segment. His is my favorite, I think. Of all the ones you do, it's my favorite." And I said, "Why is that?" She goes, "I don't know. I just think he really knows what he's talking about." So that's a nice compliment for you. But then I thought about it for a minute and thought, what does that say about all our other guests? That they don't know what they're talking about. So, Steven, you're the one who knows what he's talking about.
Jury's got to step up.
Well, will he, though? Will he? I don't know if he will.
He's great.
He is great. He'll be on tomorrow Boy, I don't know if I want to do politics tomorrow. It's been rough.
Oh, yes, you do.
I don't know, man.
Yes, you do.
Stuff going on.
It's been a rough couple of weeks.
Political Scott's Twitter has just been, whoo.
Yeah, it's been lit. And I'm wearing a Pittsburgh Penguin shirt. It's the only shirt I could have to wear, like, a little solidarity with Pittsburgh. Feel really bad about what happened there. Boy, what a tough guy. Goes in there and shoots a bunch of elderly people in a church. What a tough guy. Gosh dang it, dude. Freaking, I'm already doing it.
All right, save it for tomorrow.
Anyway, hey, Steven, let's talk about The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Which is now Halloween.
Yeah, and it's on Netflix. I didn't think it was going to Netflix. What's the deal with that thing?
Well, first of all, if you are someone who clutches your pearls at the thought of satanic panic, this is not a show for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there is a lot of let's worship Satan, let's do some satanic rituals, let's do, you know, all that stuff. Because Sabrina is someone that walks the path of both worlds. She's half human and half witch. And this show dives into that scary, spooky world of the dark side of her being a witch. Now, Sabrina, the teenage witch, first appeared in Archie's Madhouse, number 22 in 1962. But it was more lighthearted, fun, really kind of nice and cheery, and just, you know, harmless poking fun of witchcraft. But then, I'm going to butcher his name, Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, came along and started doing The Afterlife with Archie, which is the zombie story. And then he followed that up immediately with The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is this dark look at the early 1960s world of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And it just is dark and creepy and horrific.
Hmm. But not
and
this.
It's wonderful.
But not the TV show.
But not the show.
No,
you're saying.
No. And the Netflix show.
Yeah.
Is also written by him. He's the producer of it, but it's also Greg Berlanti. So there's also a lot of pretty people running around.
Yeah. Sabrina's very lovely. Lovely young lady there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're saying it just doesn't hold a candle to the comic.
Oh, well, so that's the thing. You would think if it's written and created by the same person as the comic book, that the two might kind of follow loosely along with one another. But they don't. They kind of start in the same path. Like the first issue of the comic book follows kind of closely with the first issue or the first two episodes of the Netflix series. But after that, it just kind of veers off into a different direction. It's not bad. It's really good. It does have I wouldn't say a jump scare, but it has one chilling moment every episode that makes you go, whoa, what's going on? And I think it's a lot of fun. What's the other horror show that's on Netflix?
Oh,
The Haunting
I
of Hill House.
Stop watching The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah,
it's so good.
We're three or four episodes into that. It is so good.
It's so good. Oh my gosh. I don't even like haunting stories. I don't like ghost stories, but man, this thing is just, I care about everybody. I want them all to be okay. It's so good.
And that's the big difference. You know, you get horror movies where the house is the main character and it's just, oh my gosh, oh, the house is doing this to those poor people now. And the house is doing that, like Amityville. With The Haunting of Hill House, you get such great character development that the house, while it's important to the story, of course, and integral, it's not everything that's going on. And you've got this great interpersonal dynamic with all these
characters. It's a family drama with a haunted house at its center. Mm-hmm. And it's really good at being that family drama. And it's so great seeing like Henry Thomas in this thing. Mm-hmm. It's so great seeing the way that here's the other thing I'll say. Those kids are so good.
They really are. Especially a little Luke, man. He's great.
He's amazing. The Luke character is amazing. And it's so heartbreaking sometimes, the stuff that happens to these people as they get older. Like, it's, oh, I can't say enough about that. I
watched the first episode and I was kind of like, yeah, okay. Yeah, this is, and then the very first episode of the very final scene, with the sister happens and I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Air standing on end.
Yeah. Oh, in the first episode.
It's really creepy. You know what I think that they're really good at? I've been saying this to my wife is that they're really good at quiet time. They know how to take something and make a scene very, very, not uncomfortable is not the right word, but just really can eerie things up and jack it up with just some quiet moments where really all you hear is a small shuffle in a chair or somebody moving their arm, you know, against the wall or something. And the way that they've done sound work in this thing is really exceptional. Mm-hmm. It's fan freaking tastic.
Yeah. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is much more camp and much more toned down or a little bit more silly than The Haunting of Hill House. I really think that Chilling Adventures of Sabrina would have wound up on the CW right after Riverdale because the two properties are so closely linked with characters. But the fact that it's got the whole satanic stuff going on, I think that's why CW didn't want to touch it with a 666-foot rod. So I would say if you're someone that kind of likes horror, go check this out. It's very teenagey, you know, aimed at teenagers, I think. But still a lot of fun. I would highly recommend, though, that people go check out The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Volume 1, which is now on Comixology and part of Comixology Unlimited. It's written by, as I said, the creator of the show. And all of the art for the Netflix series that you see in the intro is by Robert Hack, who does all of the art for Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the comic book. Mm. So it's really... That should give you an idea of what you're going to find in the comic book.
Okay, interesting. And you and others have spoken so highly of this. It's only $12.23 trade paperback right now.
Oh, yeah. If you want to go to an Amazon link like the one at Major Spoilers or whatever and pick it up, you can do that. Or if you're into the digital version, it's $9.99. Or if you have Comixology Unlimited, it's free.
Oh, yeah. Or Kindle Unlimited. Both of those will get you for free. Interesting. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There are some things about the TV show that some people may find annoying. Certainly the Reddits this weekend filled up because they do this really weird camera effect when they're doing stuff that is otherworldly in the show, mm-hmm. where the edges are all blurred. And I know that they're using an anamorphic lens for part of it, but it doesn't explain why they're forcing that blurry edges look. And it's certainly mm-hmm. driving a lot of people crazy, but it is a great way to signal, hey, pay attention, something crazy's going on.
Mm-hmm. The art in this is really weird in this comic.
It is. And Robert Hack does. I mean, it's really great.
Yeah.
It kind of throws in that creepy comics vibe from the 1960s.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of the story kind of feels like Dark Shadows, if you like the Dark Shadows television show, mm-hmm. But a little bit more intense. But the weird thing is the coloring on this, which kind of looks a little bit, I don't know, I want to say like colored pencil look is the best way that I can describe it. It's all digital, but I don't know. There's something about the colors that has always been kind of off for me.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is a little discordant, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that. All right. Well, this is a fine recommendation. And then I would say your review of the TV thing is like, yeah, it's okay, but it's not, mm-hmm. it doesn't hold a candle to this.
Yeah. You don't see a lot of people rushing to this the way they're talking about the Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah. Which you should totally watch, you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, for the record, it's not... I hate the name because it sounds... And it's based on an old, like, 1950-something book. Mm-hmm. I went on a kind of a deep dive about this. By the way, Stephen King says it's close to genius. So if Stephen King tells you that, then the show's probably pretty good. But anyway, it's not... It's a very modernized tale of this story. So there's not a lot of connectivity to the book. What was I going to say? I forgot. They succeeded...
Oh, the name of the book.
I know. Oh, the name of the book. It's not about a house on the hill. It's Hill House is someone, the people who owned it and built it originally, their last names were Hill. So I just wanted to get that out there so you don't spend multiple episodes watching it.
I hate movies about houses that are on hills. I refuse to watch this one.
It just annoyed me because I thought, oh, house on the hill, that's so lame and like trite. And like everyone said, like, oh, it's always stay away from the house on the hill. Like it's always like that.
Right.
Like. Psycho, House on the Hill, like that's what I thought they were going for, and it's not that at all. It's about the hills, anyway. And it makes it sound less stupid because otherwise it'd be Haunting of the House on the Hill. Instead, it's called The Haunting of Hill House.
Hill House.
That sounds stupid if you're talking about a hill. See what
I
mean?
The Haunting of Hank Hill.
Damn it, Bobby! Oh, Luann. All right, I would watch a revival of Hank Hill living in that house. That'd be great. All right, Steven, as always, a pleasure. Anything on the site people should be looking for this week?
No, it's Halloween, so a lot of silliness there. The poll of the week this week is, are you giving out Halloween candy or are you turning off the lights this year? I am turning off the lights this year.
Oh, really?
Are you really?
Wow.
Yeah, okay. We get the problem is the last couple of years, we turn off the lights at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
10 o'clock should be the time that no more doorbells. And we'll even have the lights in the upper floor off. And yet... 10:30, ding dong, Bing knock, bong. Knock, knock. 11 o'clock, ding dong, knock, knock, knock. So this year, no candy.
11 o'clock, jeez. What kid? Bad parenting.
High
bad
parents, parenting. Exactly. What parents are...
Jeez. That's got to be like teenagers or something, right?
It is. They get into the high school age. But our neighborhood is one where everybody in town floods to because everybody in our in our neighborhood, which is about five to eight blocks, just go out of their way to give all sorts of candy. So every other part of town floods into here, and it'll take you a good hour just to clear one block.
Yeah, I don't like any of that. We're going to be gone, though, so it won't be so bad. And my kids are going to some party, so our lights are off just by default. But normally, if we're here, Kim's all she's full candy bar lady. So we get we get all the kids. All the kids come because they're like, hey, I heard you can get a full-size freaking, you know, whatever. And I'm like, she's like, yeah, right. Come here. In fact, have two. And I'm just thinking, how much did this freaking cost me? These things cost me too much money. We're not gonna, this year I'm excited.
Kim Snickers bring all the kids to the yard.
Yeah. And that's why I'm excited to be in Anaheim where everything's so cheap. That's funny, see, because nothing
right. Is. Zoe says in the chat, I had 115 kids last year. We'll get 100 kids in 2 hours.
2 hours? Jeez.
Really? Yeah. We get, I'm surprised if we get, well, we probably do get something like that.
We get that much over time.
A lot of people who bring their kids to our neighborhood. Yeah. They like slowly drive, like you can see them dropping them off at one end of the circle and then picking up at the other end of the circle.
The first year we got none because we had just moved in and everyone thought the house was still empty. So nobody came.
Was haunted.
Yeah.
It was the haunting of Scott House.
The Hansen of Johnson? The Hansen of Johnson House. Nailed it. Steven, it's always a pleasure. Majorspoilers.com is where people should go. He's got great podcasts and other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, when you're going out trick-or-treating, you're going to do a lot of walking, so stay hydrated.
I knew he was going to do that. I knew he was going to go that direction. Yeah, well done. We'll give you credit for that one. Mm-hmm. All right, Daryl Skeels up to bat.
Sure.
Let's see what's up with him these days. See if we can't catch him in a meeting or something. Oh, that was quick, too. Jeez, you guys are all Johnny on the spot
today. Everybody's on it today. Look at that.
Yeah.
I wish I could mute that thing, but I can't. Daryl's here, and he has a thing.
Hello, and welcome to Star Trek Adventure.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
It's a little fruity. Daryl Skeels here all the way from Seattle, Washington, to share with us the latest and the greatest in the world of Star Trek. We're fans here. We like Star Trek. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anytime there's something happening, we're just like, oh, let's talk about it on the show. Daryl, how are you? What's going on over there?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Work as usual.
Is there a meeting happening? Anything?
Always.
Okay.
There's always a meeting happening somewhere.
I want to hear it. I can't wait for that day where we've actually heard something we're not supposed to hear, like it's like super top secret, and you and I are get subpoenaed.
And then I go to prison.
Yeah, you'll go to prison. We'll have to come to your trial and testify. They'll play tape of this. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rough time.
It'll be great. We get King Kratz.
I'm going to yell. Yes, you can defender. Be Ken Kratz. I'm just going to yell. You can't handle the truth. We're going to have this whole thing's going to be great.
You're out of order. I'm out of order. This whole court's out of order. Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah. Hoo-ah. Yeah.
Many different movies in this impersonation. Hoo-ah.
All his movies.
Etika.
Very good. Well done. Oh, hi. What's that? Where'd you find him? Oh, my gosh. Kim found my
your AirPods.
AirPods. Because we're getting ready to paint and do some. Oh, and it's still charged? What? Why wasn't it showing up on my thing? And also, did the dog bite it? No, this is why it got there. The dog, there's all kinds of dog marks on it.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's
Lady
what
ate
happened.
It and pooped it out.
She snuck it out and hid it under there because it's got dog teeth. Look.
You got to put. You got to spray it with that that pet repellent stuff.
I know, dude. About on the show before. Kidding. I can't believe we got the. All right, thanks, babe. You're the best. You're a good temporary co-host and a fine headphones finder.
Guess it's time to take out that APB on the.
Yeah, I gotta put an end to that. All right. Well, it was under the couch. That's fantastic. So yeah, we're getting flooring done because we found a screaming deal and we were trying to do it this year anyway. But then the deal came and we were like, I guess we have to. So Kim's painting all this week before we leave. And then as soon as we get back, me and like two brother-in-laws and Dylan are all just cramming flooring into the house.
Oh, you're going to do it yourself. Wow. Yeah. Look at you guys.
Doing it upstairs. Well, we have to. It's too expensive. That labor will kill you, man. Yeah. And it's all like really nice luxury vinyl, like lock it into place kind of stuff. So it's not like, you know, poopy. It's not poopy. But it's also very self-doable, so we don't have to glue anything down. It's like a floating floor or whatever they call that. Anyway, getting rid of the carpet upstairs is what we're doing. That's the main thing.
Nice. Well, that covers our Star Trek news. Thanks for stopping by, Daryl.
Yeah, it's been great. They're going to put a big old Starfleet emblem in the middle, and that's the Star Trek connection. No, there's way more stuff. For example, there's an animated comedy series called Star Trek Lower Decks. This is being written and produced by Rick and Morty writer Mike McMahon. How do you say that?
I just say McMahon.
Is it just McMahon?
McMahon, yeah.
McMahon. Why does that look like wrong?
Ed McMahon had that extra syllable that you didn't pronounce. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
It was Ed McMahon.
I feel like I needed to be rebooted then. But anyway, so that's not the two founder people of Rick and Morty, but a guy who's worked on the show. And he's also the dude that runs the Twitter account TNG_season8S8. He also wrote the Harry Mudd short Trek story, The Escape Artist, that we'll see around January 3rd. So the point is, he does some stuff. Why a comedy, Daryl? I'm freaked out about this.
I sort of am too. I mean, we don't see a comedy version of other things like Man in the High Castle.
Yeah.
No, but we do a Star Wars. That Star Wars, what was the one that
Christmas special? Seth... Oh yeah, that was great.
No.
The Seth Green thing.
Yeah, the Seth Green
cartoon. Although, you know, the Christmas special was an unintentional comedy.
but it didn't Star last Wars... very long. What was that called?
Rogues, not Rogues.
Star Wars Rogues? You might be right.
No. What was it? Was it Rogues?
I don't remember now. I have zero memory of this.
Yeah.
But it was, and it wasn't very good, to be honest, but.
It sadly wasn't, but.
It's entirely possible that this will be great. Is it the style of the old series and they're parroting that? Or is this, like, do we know?
We don't know yet, but I think it might be Rick and Morty style.
Detours was the Star Wars one.
Oh, Star Trek Detours? That sounds like a ride at Disneyland
or
something. Star
Wars Detours. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, because it was Star Wars Tour, Star Tours.
Oh, Star Tours. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. But Felicia Day was involved in that.
Oh, was she?
Actually, Seth MacFarlane was Palpatine in that, too. So, I mean, it was basically Robot Chicken animated Star Wars.
Yeah. It didn't do very well, though. It was kind of a bomb. I mean, this could have some legs, though. I assume this would be for CBS All Access, right? That's the plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And are you okay with at least trying this out, or where do you? What's your radar like on this, Daryl?
Well, I'll try it. I mean, maybe 20 or 30 years ago, I might have thought there's no way, and this will be horrible. But I'm open to it, I guess.
Chatroom says that Star Wars thing never aired. I watched an episode of that somewhere.
It totally aired. Yeah, it aired between. Let's see.
So they produce a full season of the Seth thing, and it's in the vault. I saw a whole episode.
Oh,
of that.
You know what? Maybe. Are you sure? Because
I swear I did. Like some.
They made
web
13
thing?
Episodes. They completed 13 episodes and had 62 additional scripts finished. But in March, Lucasfilm postponed Detours, reconsidering whether a comedy series would be a sensible way to introduce the franchise to new fans when the sequel trilogy was being produced. So, I don't think.
Where did I see it then? I saw some like
you probably
30
saw,
minute.
Oh, well, yeah, we definitely saw trailers. I remember the trailer of it.
Maybe it was a trailer.
However, in June of this year, Lucasfilm announced or filed a new trademark for the series. So,
oh, maybe they'll get back to it.
Maybe.
They realized worrying about what people thought about Star Wars was stupid and they just didn't make stuff. They're so weird over there about Star Wars.
They're
really so like,
are weird.
Oh, be careful. Don't do that. That's too weird for Star Wars. We have to treat this like the freaking Holy Grail handed down by Jesus. Like, no, just make good stuff. And then, because if you're so careful, you're gonna careful yourself out of good movies.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I'm getting fired up. I'm
you
gotta
take
up.
Risks.
Yeah, take risks, Daryl. That's right. How can you have any kind of anything if you don't take a risk?
Mm-hmm.
Risk it all. Don't make safe movies. Safe movies get you in trouble. The reason that Marvel is big is not because you made a bunch of safe movies. I mean, it might get that way eventually, but it's because you decided to go a little nuts with what doesn't seem safe. So don't be so safe. Anyway.
Right.
What else? Anything else? Oh, and this is when? When do we get it? Do we know?
My guess is it's going to be a year at least because it takes a long time to do animation.
Right. That's true. Well, they send it all to Korea and then slave drive them to get it done.
Yeah.
That's my understanding. That's the way the current business works. All right. Someone in the chat says, please don't let it be Cal Arts style. Now, I know what you're referring to there, chat room. If anyone else doesn't know what this is, there was and correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a big portion of Cal Arts students who all jumped in on the basically spaghetti arm style of...
Adventure Time/...
There's a million of them. There's tons of them that use this kind of style. And now it's very popular for people to say, please don't let it be that. And so they've given it a name. I think that there's a place for that. They're just feeling like everything is that right now.
Yeah.
And I would say, go watch Hilda. That isn't that. Something else.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Isn't Hilda great, Daryl? I told you.
It is. Yes.
I watched the first episode on the plane.
It's magical, Brian. It's magical. Was that?
And then I followed it with an episode with watching.
Well, I was going to ask you what order you did it in. Did you do the cartoon first and then watch the movie?
I did the cartoon and a bunch of episodes of Cobra Kai on the way out, and then we watched can't even remember the name of the stupid movie, but Cabin Fever. Watched that one on the way back.
Yeah. I would have, the other direction would have probably washed the taste of Cabin Fever out of your mouth better, but
maybe that would have been good. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's fine though. Hilda's great and people should watch it if I haven't said that enough. It's my Mad Max Fury Road of animated television right now. That's how much I like it.
I do like the suggestion by Jedi 71. It should look like the old animated series and just be funny like C-Lab. Kind of like Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. Like that kind of style and humor level for the Star Trek animated comedy series.
Yeah, have it look like the old style. Yeah. Oh, yes. That's how they should do this.
Totally.
It can't be some new goofy. Yes, yes. Brian's right. Chat room's right. That's how it should be. Daryl, that sounds better, doesn't it? More of a parody.
Go send that to the people in charge and make them do it that way.
Yeah. It needs to look filmation level, stiff characters.
Exactly. I just hate that style.
I know you do, but if for a comedy, it works. Then it works. Because then it knows what it is. You know what I mean? Like I think it owns it that way. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Like Harvey Birdman straight up took a real character, Birdman, and changed it completely to I know it's like now it's like common to see something like Archer or whatever, but you got to remember when that first started happening, like C-Lab, you're like, what am I watching? It was like an 80s show that had just been mashed up or something.
It was great.
Yeah. It's so good. So anyway, so it's an animated Orville if they... I don't know. I don't know, Icor. I don't know if that's a fair comparison. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see what it is. And Daryl will keep us up to date each and every Monday on what's going on.
Yeah.
Daryl, speaking of which, anything else going on that you want to mention?
Not a single thing.
Not one thing. All right. Well, we look forward to the comedy styles of Daryl before we get a comedy styles of Star Trek. Bye. All right. He's gone.
He's Daryl Skills Detours.
Detour. That's what we call his segment. Before we get out of here, a couple of quick things. I got an email from a listener. This listener's name is Tro. Tro wrote in and said this. First off, I loved hearing Kim on TMS the other day. She has a soothing voice. I hope that's not weird to say. Now, before I read the rest of his email, I also want to make note that there were, I don't know, a dozen or two people who wrote in and said the exact same thing, and a number of them said that they think they finally found their ASMR in Kim's voice.
It's Kim. That's awesome.
So I told Kim, don't be creeped out. It's okay for people to like a voice. It's fine.
Right. You know, she could turn it into not voiceover, but a book audio books on tape kind of reading deal.
Or we just get her on Twitch and have her do ASMR all day. Have her whisper stuff in people's ears. Why not?
She can cook her jambalaya and then she can eat her jambalaya.
Yeah, let's get a piece of that. Oh, I forgot. She also forgot putting the recipe up Thursday like we promised. We're going to try to do that before we go to BlizzCon because that was a thing everyone asked for. And also she made jambalaya over the weekend and it was amazing. So good, Brian. So good.
Very good.
All right, this email goes like this. Hey, Scott. Oh, you said all that. I have a theory about the butt window situation, talking about the neighbor with the butt against the window. Sure. I think the person who lives there had a friend over. The homeowner excused themselves for a moment. While they were gone, the guest dropped trow and pressed the ham. He then pulls his pants up and goes on about his visit and leaves. The next time the temp drops and the window's fog, there's a giant butt print in the window. So it's a joke to his friend.
Right, exactly. Which is actually kind of funny. It's like an upper decker, but it's with a butt print. A poop decker. It's a poop decker.
He says, no making, or he says, sounds like something I would do. No making out or touching butts, Tro. It's entirely possible, sure.
But it was like first thing in the morning. It was like 6 in the morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You were out walking the dog?
It was like 6:30, 7. So that seems like a weird time for a friend to play a prank
on
him. Yeah. Doesn't seem right. So I'm not sure your theory holds, but I like it. I like that we're thinking outside the box here.
But it's entertaining, if nothing else. And it gives me another idea of something to do with the hotel room when we're about to leave.
Or do it at the house. Hey, Tina, what's that mark on the window?
Hey, crazy neighbor Dave.
Hey, Dave. Who makes, by the way, the best Gilligan I've ever seen?
Oh, right? Yeah.
That was amazing.
It's a role he was born to play.
Yeah. Brian was at some sort of Halloween party, and you were the skipper, and your wife was Marianne. Or no, sorry, Ginger, yep. And then his wife was Marianne.
Exactly.
I'm going to say this: get that woman a plaid shirt of some sort. The white shirt ain't cutting it. She never wore a white shirt. She always wore like that. She absolutely did.
She showed us the episodes where Marianne would wear that.
Really?
She also had the plaid shirt that looked like a tablecloth. But she was being, out of the four of us, she's the one who spent the most time making sure her costume was factually accurate.
All right, fair enough.
And to the point where, she asked me to pull up the theme song to play as we walked into the party.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, she has been excited about this this outfit, this costume party for quite a while.
That's great. She danced to some yacht rock while she worked on it?
She absolutely should.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, all right then. Anyway, that was cool. It was fun to watch. You guys do that. And thank you for the email there, Tro. Now. I was going to do a mashup, but I actually haven't checked to see if we have one. Let me check real quick. I just assumed there would be because there always is.
Well, he said that he wouldn't have one for last week, but do we have any in the chamber that we haven't played yet?
Yeah. How about this one? Let's try TMB. I don't know what this stands for. Okay? This is listed as a bonus mashup. Let's see what it is. Here you go. I have this theory about why Sense8 went away, and I'm a little worried about this show because it has a bad case of what I call TMB, which is too much boning.
Well,
there's a lot of boning. This thing is, hey guys, we're on Stars, so our goal should be to bone all the time. We're like HBO, but let's just jack it up 30% and let's have boning all the time. And I think if Sense8 was just less interested in constant boning and more interested in storytelling and like character development.
Teenagers.
Well,
what about Game of Thrones? That's all that was.
Well, Game of Thrones has a fair amount of boning, but it's less boning percentage wise compared to other. Like, there's more.
If I were still in education, I could write a whole paper on the amount of boning going on.
I'm just saying, if you watch Game of Thrones, the percentage of boning to regular story is pretty small, despite the fact that it has its moments of excessive boning. It's not the same. It's not a huge quantity. You wouldn't walk in there and go, oh, well, easily 50% of all episodes spent in Game of Thrones is boning. That wouldn't be accurate. But I'm telling you right now, in Sense8, it's like 50-50. It's like boning, 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 a little bit of story. Look what this lady said. Boning, 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 some more boning, and how about boning? Like, that's how that show went. And I know there are people out there who really like it, and I think that the concept is awesome. Too much boning. All right.
It's weird. I heard, like, Steven, Daryl, and me all on at the same time in that.
Yeah, I think we must have done some crossover on a Monday or something.
I think we did, yeah.
I don't remember doing that, but we must have. They probably remember it. They're probably hearing this now and going, oh, yeah, was that time you just took both calls at the same time or whatever? Or maybe I called them back by
Monday
accident.
Thunderdome.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I still stand by this. I think Sense8 would have been, we'd still have it if it wasn't so much boning.
It's like that British Skins, was it?
Yes, Skins.
They just seem to take every opportunity to have their characters boning.
Yeah. The only good thing about Skins is season one produced the dude who now plays, he's in Mad Max Fury Road. He plays the war boy. What's his name?
Oh, Knox. Right. Yes.
He plays Knox, and he's also great as Beast in the X-Men stuff. I think he's one of the better picks in there.
He's the zombie in that comedy zombie film.
Right. How I Married Your Zombie. No.
Yeah.
We all love our zombie. What's the name of that
thing? It was a two-word title, something like...
Friendly Zombie.
Dead something? Dead.
Dead forever. We're dead. We're dead, but we're getting better. Dead, but better. Nicholas Holt is his name, yes. Warm Bodies.
Warm Bodies. Warm Bodies, that was it. Yeah. It was two words. I get that part.
No, you were way
dead
further.
Dead
than
was
me.
Not one of the words, but
no, you got it. I was all up in this wrong.
That is how my mind works.
Tomorrow,
I can't think of the thing, but I can think of aspects around the thing.
Sure, I get it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is a show. We do a show tomorrow, and then we don't do shows Thursday and Wednesday, or Wednesday and Thursday, because we're going to be at BlizzCon 2018. Right. So just a reminder about that, if you're wondering where shows are that day. Brian and I will try to record something while we're there, probably do a little phone streaming, have some fun there, but it's going to be kind of a big week, and I still can't say why. All right, so there's all that. I know.
Damn it!
I know, pulling that Johnson, just yanking it until...
This Johnson has been stretched for weeks.
It's like a... So what's that guy, the thingy bomb?
Stretch Armstrong Johnson.
Stretch Armstrong, that's it. I like that. Stretch Armstrong Johnson. So in the meantime, today was a fun little show with lots of choices for a title. You guys submitted them in the chat room, and if you'd like to vote for your favorites, go to frogpants.showbot.tv. If you're looking to support the show, that's over at patreon.com/TMS, and the show is at frogpants.com/TMS, and links to all the stuff I'm talking about are there as well. So go check it out. Find us. Skulkus isn't a word. I'm gonna stop saying words now, because skulkus is not a word.
I don't know where you were going with it.
I don't either. That's gonna do it for the show, though. Now, tradition states in on paper and in our minds that Brian plays a song before we leave, so I think we should stick to that, and Brian will now do it.
Yes, I have a lot to make up for from the time we were gone. I'll probably have a lot to make up for when we're gone later this week. But this one was from the 24th. Gareth wrote in, said, it's my 50th birthday on the 24th. Nice. I would love a mention, any song listed above. I've heard you before. I trust your judgment. Honest. Cheers very much. Signed, a Brit now living in Calgary, Canada, Gareth Williams. Well, nice. First off, hope you had a great 50th birthday, Gareth. Jeez Louise, can't speak.
Yeah.
Gareth, happy birthday.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Nice.
Wanted to hear any cover of New Order, Dead Kennedys, ska, whatever. He says he likes it all. Let's go with that one right there. New Order. This one came out in 2014 and is a really, really good cover of one of my favorite New Order songs. The song is True Faith. And the video, I remember, featured a bunch of Weimaraners balancing on boards and beach balls and stuff, if I remember correctly. Yep. This cover, though, is performed by Sophie Ellis-Bextor. She's awesome and does not get enough attention here in the U.S. Big UK presence, but not so much over here. Comes from the BBC Radio 2 Sounds of the 80s album from 2014. Here is Sophie Ellis-Bextor and her cover of True Faith.
See y'all tomorrow. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
So I took her in the back and gave her some coke and some ammonia. I thought she was going to have a spell.